tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'll take his gospel.
On the main street of Malden, Massachusetts, there stands a white frame house. On the front lawn is a marker that reads, Malden, his birthplace, the ocean, his sepulcher. This simple monument quietly notes the birthplace of Adoniram Judson. But markers only summarize, and at that so poorly. One will never know the full story, the burden, the heartache, the pain, the suffering, the death, or the victories of America's first foreign missionary from only reading this historical marker. Let me share with you more fully tonight the story of Adoniram Judson, America's first foreign missionary.
I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. I'll tell this world that I'm a Christian. I'll take his gospel anywhere.
This truly amazing man was born to the Reverend Adoniram Judson Sr. and his wife Abigail as they served the First Congregational Church of Malden, Massachusetts on Saturday, August 9th, 1788. He was named Adoniram Judson, Jr. He was a very unusual young man. He was active, energetic, self-confident, studious, and he possessed an avid mind for solving puzzles. His grammar school interests included mathematics, Greek, and Latin. So amazing was his ability as a scholar that he entered Brown University 6 days after his 16th birthday. The university found him so versed already in Latin, Greek, mathematics, geography, astronomy, logic, oratory, rhetoric, and moral philosophy that he was allowed to bypass his freshman year, and he entered Brown University as a sophomore, being just barely 16 years old. His impact on the faculty and the student body was almost beyond belief. But in the passing of his college years, one of his closest friends became Jacob Eames of Belfast, Maine. Jacob was an infidel, and the religious beliefs given to Adoniram by his parents completely collapsed in favor of unbelief also. He graduated as valedictorian of his class on September 2nd of 1807. But the days that followed were days of rebellion and unbelief to the breaking of his parents' hearts. One evening, while traveling through the country, having been to New York seeking a theatrical career, he stopped at an inn to spend the night. He found himself unexpectedly in a room next to that of a man who was dying. As he was aware through the night of the man's hopeless condition, he found also that he was troubled concerning the subject of death. He was troubled about the man in the room next to his, and also he was troubled about the prospect that he too someday must die. But he sought to calm himself by trying to imagine the attitude and the remarks of his infidel friend Jacob Eames were he to find himself in a similar situation. Finally, late in the night, he drifted off to sleep. The next morning, as he paid for his lodging, he asked about the man in the room next to his. He died last night, came the reply. Do you know who he was? Asked Adoniram. Yes, said the innkeeper as he checked his log. He was a young man from Brown University named Eames. Jacob Eames, Adoniram's infidel friend, had died in the room next to his that previous night. He was never the same following this news of the death of Jacob. The months that followed were still days of inner conflict and battle. But God in his grace and mercy was working definitely and deeply in his life. Finally, he gave himself to the Lord, and for the first time in his life, he had peace. One question remained. How can I order my life that I might best please God? In the passing of time, this question was answered also as his heart became deeply burdened for missions. He longed to become the first American foreign missionary. He resolved while in prayer one day to obey the command of the Great Commission, whatever the cost. Little did he realize then how great that cost would be. It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice He calls to paths I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go. It wasn't easy to convince a denomination that didn't have a mission board of the need of one, let alone of the need of missionaries to go to the Orient. No one in America, including the Congregationalists, had ever sent out such a thing as a foreign missionary. But after much prayer and considerable denominational wrangling and travail, God prevailed in behalf of Adoniram and several of his missionary friends. On February 6th of 1812, the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions set apart Adoniram Judson and several others as Christian missionaries. On the day before that, Wednesday, February 5th of 1812, Adoniram was married to Nancy Hazelton. She was 1 year his junior, having been born December 22nd, 1789. He was 23 and she was 22. A few days later, they set sail for India, ready to serve the Lord. Ready to suffer grief or pain, ready to stand the test, ready to stay at home and send others if he sees best, ready to go, ready to stay, ready my place to fill, ready for service, lowly or great, ready to do his will. 114 days later, they sighted land once again. But upon landing at Calcutta, problems immediately faced them. In the process of the voyage, Adoniram Judson had become a Baptist, and he severed his affiliation with the Congregationalists, from whom he'd had such great difficulty obtaining support, to become a Baptist, who now had a missionary in India and they didn't even know it. But these problems were small compared to others that faced them. It appeared that all doors of service were closed to them and they might have to get back on board ship and return to America. Months of uncertainty passed as they sought for a place of service. Then tragedy struck as Harriet Newell, just 19 years of age, gave birth to a baby which died in her arms. And then she died also. Her husband, one of the accompanying missionaries, by this time was a broken man. Luther Rice, another of the missionaries with Adoniram, was suffering from liver trouble. It was obvious he had to return home or he would die. He left and came back to America to challenge Baptists concerning their responsibility to foreign missions. These departures left Adoniram and Nancy entirely alone. On June 22nd of 1814, still seeking a place of service, Following 2 years of uncertainty, they left for Burma, confident that God, in his sovereignty and faithfulness, would guide them. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy defeats and victories mixed together in the years that follow as they traveled and then lived in Rangoon, Burma. En route, their first baby was born dead. Nancy almost died as well. And then when they reached Rangoon, the mission work started so slowly. Years passed, no one was converted. Adoniram had to study 12 hours a day just to learn the language. On September 11th of 1815, Roger Williams Judson was born. But a few months later, he died also. By 1817, a tract for the Burmese people had been printed in their language, followed by a catechism. And then the Gospel of Matthew was finished late in May of 1817. These all were being distributed with prayer for God's blessings. A dictionary was begun, but sickness, fever, and near-death attacked Adoniram and slowed the work. Cholera broke out in Burma. War rumors threatened. Finally, after 6 years of labor, the first convert was won. Then death took a new missionary associate from America named Edward Wheelock. Others were converted. Adoniram labored on the other New Testament books, and he completed the entire New Testament in the Burmese language on July 12th of 1823, about 10 years of missionary labor. Nancy then took sick and had to return to America for her health. She returned to Burma December 5th of 1823. They dedicated their lives anew to tell the world of Jesus Christ. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. I'll tell this world that I'm a Christian. I'll take his gospel everywhere. I'll tell this world how Jesus saved me and how he gave me a life brand new. Trust him that all he gave me, he my all are his forever, and where he leads me, I will go. The most difficult hour came during the months when Adoniram was in prison. It all began on June 8th of 1824 and didn't end until November 4th of 1825. 17 months of indescribable pain and agony to his whole being. He was first put into stocks and cast into a windowless prison, where he was blinded by the darkness, overcome with the heat, and gagged from the indescribable stench. At night, the prisoner's feet were raised in the air, so only the head and shoulders could touch the ground. The ground was covered with straw, but it also was covered with filth and swarming with vermin. This process of raising the legs ground the hair and the neck into the filth, numbed the feet and legs, and rubbed the ankles raw. Food was scarce. Death was a definite possibility. Before long, Adoniram was worn and physically broken, almost beyond recognition. The reason for his imprisonment was war with England, and the Burman conviction that all foreigners are spies. On January 26th of 1825, while Adoniram was still in prison, Nancy gave birth to little Maria, Maria Elizabeth Butterworth Judson. After 11 months in prison, Adoniram was beyond recognition. He was a walking skeleton in filthy clothes with an unkempt body and dirty, matted hair. And worst of all, he was very sick. Word came the prisoners were to be moved. They had to make the journey walking in the hot blazing sun without any shoes. As the caravan of prisoners moved from the prison of filth, blisters quickly formed on Adoniram's feet. These burst and left him walking on raw flesh. It's no wonder, as he came to a bridge, one biographer suggests he was probably tempted to jump killing himself. His mind must have wondered, too, if his decision to be a missionary had been worth the cost. What had his missionary venture brought? Death. Death to Harriet Newell. Death to little Roger. Death to Edward Wheelock. Now surely death to himself and probably Nancy and little Maria. And what did he have to show for his years as a missionary? Just a few converts and a New Testament in the Burmese language that probably by now had been confiscated and destroyed. What hope did he have? Had he been a fool, as many had said, to become a missionary? Even those of his friends and his family, when he could have stayed in the United States and been a great statesman or a great pastor? All human logic and all evidence about him pointed to that conclusion. I travel down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me, and then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were also weary upon that Calvary road. The cross became so heavy that I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just take your cross and follow close to me. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things just to walk your narrow way. Up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I heard him gently say to
to me. I left my throne in glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon the cruel cross. But now we'll make your journey with your hand safe in mine. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh, Jesus, if I die upon some foreign field one day, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love has mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. If just one cup of water I place within your hand, then just one cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living they can my glory see, then take your cross and follow close to me.
After 4 miles in the grueling death march, one man did die. They had 4 miles to go, and Adoniram knew that he would never make it. Death seemed to be certain, and to be honest, it would also be welcome. But unexpectedly, they were allowed to stop to spend the night, a certain release from death, at least temporarily. But by morning, it was even worse. He found he couldn't walk. Death seemed inevitable once again. But again, unexpectedly, a cart was employed for the prisoners to ride in. When the destination was finally reached, the rumor was they were to be burned. But they were allowed to live by God's grace. They slept again in stocks with their feet raised, while the mosquitoes swarmed on the raw soles. There were a few things to be thankful for. Nancy and little Maria had been able to follow him, and he got to see them every day. But in the passing of time, Nancy became very sick, and little Maria was starving to death. He found he was more depressed than ever before. He often recited these words: "No bliss I seek, but to fulfill in life, in death, thy lovely will. No comfort in my woes I want, except what thou art pleased to grant. Our days are numbered. Let us spare our anxious hearts and needless care. 'Tis thine to number out our days, and ours to give them to thy praise." If we could see beyond today as God can see, if all our clouds should roll away, those shadows flee, our present griefs we would not fret, each sorrow we would soon forget, for many joys are waiting yet for you. We could see beyond today as God doth know. Why, dearest treasures pass away and tears must flow, and why the darkness bleeds to light, why dreary days will soon grow bright. Someday life's wrongs will be made right, faith tells me so.
we could see, if we could know, we often say. But God in love a veil doth throw across our way. We cannot see what lies before, and so we cling to Him the more. He leads us till our life is o'er. Trust and obey.
Somehow Adoniram lived, and Nancy lived, and little Maria lived by God's grace and strength. And finally he was released from prison on November 4th of 1825, after 17 months of what I've just described. In the months that followed, Adoniram worked as a translator to help secure a peaceful settlement of the war between Burma and England. But progress was so slow, neither side trusted the other, and to do this work, he had to be away from home. On November 24th of 1825, while he was away translating, he received a letter that he felt certainly bore the sad news of little Maria's death. Quickly, he opened the message and he read, "My dear sir, to one who has suffered so much and with exemplary fortitude, there needs but little preface to tell a tale of distress. It would be cruel to torture you with doubt and surprise. To sum up the unhappy tidings in a few words, Mrs. Judson is no more." You can understand how despair overwhelmed him. He began to weep with open and engulfing sobs. Nancy was dead. His beloved wife was dead, being only 37 years of age. Dead because he had brought her here to Burma. Could he ever go on in light of this crushing tragedy? If only he could have been with her in the hour of her death. Surely also in this hour his mind must have turned to the time that he could leave this world and join her in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All tears for carried on by God's infinite grace. But again, tragedy struck when little Maria did die on April 24th of 1827. She lived only 2 years and 3 months. In July of the same year, he received word his father had died the previous November. He hadn't seen his father in 14 years. It took Adoniram almost 3 years to climb from the depths of the sorrow of Nancy's death. But he carried on his work with faith in a sovereign God. In 1831, he wrote to another missionary named Sarah Boardman, whose husband George had died also. He said to her, "I can assure you that months and months of heart-rending anguish lie before you, whether you will it or not. But take the bitter cup with both hands and sit down to your past. You will soon learn a secret. There is sweetness at the bottom of the cup of sorrow." About 3 years later, he finished the Burmese Bible, the entire Bible in the Burmese language. He was 46 years old now. A few weeks later, he received a letter from Sarah Boardman rejoicing over the completion of his Burmese Bible. She had stayed in Burma, though her husband had died. The letter was dated February 17th of 1834, and on April 10th of that same year, Adoniram Judson and Sarah Boardman were married, and a new home was set up. On October 31st of 1835, Sarah gave birth to Abigail Ann Judson. Joy filled the home again, and Adoniram worked on a revision of his Old Testament. On April 7th of 1837, Adoniram Brown Judson was born. On July 15th of 1838, Elnathan Judson entered the world. On December 31st of 1839, little Henry Judson came. On March 8th of 1841, another child, Luther, was stillborn. And Sarah and the other children took down desperately ill. A sea voyage was absolutely necessary if they hoped to recover. Little Henry died during the trip on July 30th of 1841. But the others of the family recovered. A year later, Sarah gave birth to Henry Hall Judson on July 8th of 1842. On December 18th of 1843, Charles Judson was born. And the family was complete when Edward Judson arrived on December 27th of 1844. In 1845, Sarah became very sick once again. It was felt a trip to America might help her, as such a trip had helped Nancy at one point in her life. So Sarah and Adoniram and part of the family set sail. During the voyage at one point, Sarah appeared much better. But she soon came down, and somewhere between Burma and the United States of America, Sarah died also. It was a long, sad voyage to America under such conditions. And then when they arrived in America, they received word from Burma that little Charlie had died at the age of a year and a half. Adoniram must have wondered how much more he could bear as his thoughts now turned to his unfinished dictionary. He giveth more strength when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more grace when our labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundaries, no man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our source of endurance, when our strength has failed ere our day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundaries known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and he gives. He giveth again. While in America those 2 years, God's grace did give to Adoniram again. Unexpectedly, he met and fell in love with Emily Shubuck. She was a writer. Adoniram was 57 years old by now. She was much younger and had never been married. They were united in marriage on June 1st of 1846. And on July 11th of the same year, they left to return to Burma. When Adoniram did arrive back in Burma, he gave himself to what he felt would have to be his last work, the completion of the dictionary. All who followed him to that mission field would need that work and would build on it. On December 24th of 1847, while he was laboring on his dictionary, Emily Frances was born. She added an unusual blessing to the family. On January 24th of 1849, the English-Burmese part of the dictionary was finished, 600 pages in size. Thus, in 37 years as a missionary, he had translated the entire Bible into the Burmese language, and he had finished the most important half of a dictionary. What a time of praise as he now set to work on the other half of the dictionary. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. I will serve him, for he's my Savior. I will serve him, for he's my Savior. I will serve him, for he's my Savior. I will serve him. Alleluia. Late September of 1849, Adoniram contracted a severe cold. The days that followed were days of deep pain and suffering. The doctor recommended a sea voyage. Emily was far advanced with her second child, and there was no possibility that she could go with him. So on Wednesday, April 3rd of 1850, he was carried on board a ship with accompanying fellow missionary and a servant. When Emily told him goodbye, he could scarcely whisper. Finally, his lips moved, but he made no sound. Several weeks later at sea, he rallied and appeared to feel much better again. But on a Tuesday afternoon, he became deathly ill another time. He wished he could die. Few there are who die so hard. His agony was so appalling that others could hardly watch. By Friday, it was clear his end was very near. In the middle of the afternoon, he said in Burmese, "It is done. I'm going. Take care of poor mistress." Then he fell asleep as he gently ceased to breathe. At 4:14 on Friday afternoon, April 12th of 1850, Adoniram Judson reached his final destination, heaven's shores at last. His body was buried at sea. As I've shared with you the life of Adoniram Judson, there may be a question in your mind. The cost of his missionary labors was so great. Was it worth the cost? Two wives died prematurely. Numerous children never saw teenage days or adulthood. Was it worth it? When he could have stayed in America and been a great statesman or a great pastor? If Adoniram Judson could speak to us from eternity, he would tell us it was worth the cost. If Nancy, Sarah, or Emily, his wives, or his children could speak, they would echo the same. If friends and parents and others could communicate, they would tell the story. But most of all, think of the thousands of Burmese people who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of the ministry of Adoniram Judson. And the multitudes of that area that yet today are still coming to know Christ. Those thousands of people who are going to be in heaven for eternity instead of hell. If they could speak to you today, they would be rejoicing that one man named Adoniram Judson took God at his word when he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He left father, mother, brother, sister, son, and daughter that he might be Christ's disciple. He lost his life for Christ, but he found it.
He was that grain of wheat that fell into the ground and died, but sprang up and continues to spring up, bearing much fruit. As the modern song says, Adoniram Judson had what to others was an impossible dream. To literally fulfill God's command of the Great Commission to bear the gospel to all the world, even to Burma, a place where no one else had ever labored. He found the unbeatable foe when he won the battle. He bore the unbearable sorrow. He ran where the brave dared not go. He, by God's grace, overextended himself time and time again. He pressed constantly forward when his whole being was weary and filled with despair. The souls of men and the glory of God were his quest, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far. He was willing to give when there was no more to give. He was willing to die. He was a man who was covered with scars, though he was perhaps scorned by some of the world. He was a man who strove with his last ounce of strength and courage to take the gospel to all the world, his unreachable star. And if you think the cost was too much, perhaps it's more of a commentary on your lack of spiritual commitment. If you think the cost was too much, perhaps it's more of a commentary on your lack of a missionary burden. If you think the cost was too much, perhaps it's a testimony that you have not left father, mother, brother, sister, son, and daughter, that you might be Christ's disciple. If you think the cost was too much, perhaps you have not lost your life to find it in Christ. If you think the cost was too much, perhaps you have not become that grain of wheat that falls into the ground and dies to bear up and spring up bearing much fruit. I challenge you tonight to take the word of the Lord Jesus Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel seriously. We have not sacrificed yet. We have not gone as we should go. We have not sent others as we should send. We have not given as we should give. I challenge you tonight to face that unbeatable foe, an unevangelized world, and win the battle by sacrificial giving of your life and of your possessions. I'm sorry to say that some people are not willing to go, and many who stay at home are not willing to give sacrificially. It seems that once we get our money into a bank account or into some investment, not even God can touch it. We wouldn't change our minds about our investments for anything. Even if Jesus were to come to this earth and challenge us concerning the need of missions, we would be satisfied to keep our investments as they are while a world dies and goes to hell. We don't know what it is yet to give sacrificially. From time to time, my wife and I sit down and we look at the little that God has given us. We have to ask the Lord, Lord, are we using it in the place that you want it to be used? Lord, are we giving as you would have us to give? I pray that my heart would never become so cold that I would take my money and put it away and be unmoved by the power of the Holy Spirit to reach into whatever God has given me, to give it even sacrificially, even all of it, for the sake of Christ, if the power of the Holy Spirit were to direct my heart. Yes, we have not, like Adoniram Judson, overextended ourselves time and time again. We've not pressed constantly forward when our whole being was weary and filled with despair. We've not made the honor of God and the souls of men our quest, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far. We've not been willing to give when there was no more to give. We're not even willing to give when we have something to give. We're not willing to die. And the world is suffering and lost and going to hell because of it. We've not been willing to be scorned and covered with scars. We have not striven with our last ounce of strength and finances to take the gospel to that unreachable star, the whole world. I challenge you tonight to say with Adoniram Judson, as my song says, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'll tell the world by saying, Lord, here am I, send me. I'll tell the world by giving sacrificially. I'll tell the world by praying for those who have gone. I'll tell the world right where I am. Yes, Lord, here's my life. Here's my possessions. Here's my all. Lord, I report for duty. What would you have me to do for this cause of world missions? $10,000 is the goal this week. I think we ought to be able to pass it and double it as we would take this matter of missions seriously. and we would reach into the abundance of what God has given and give lovingly, graciously, sacrificially tonight for the cause of Christ, to tell the world that Christ is our Lord and our Savior. I'll tell this world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed His name to bear. I'll tell this world that I'm a Christian. I'll take and send His gospel everywhere. And when He comes and life is over, I know for certain there's more to be. Eyes have never seen those wonders that He's preparing for you and me. Go tell this world that you're a Christian. Be not ashamed His name to bear. Go tell this world that you're a Christian. And take the
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.